Welcome to another episode of the Access Baseball Podcast, covering all the bases of high school and college baseball. And now here's your host, Vinny Massana.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny Massana. So we were originally not going to do a podcast this week as there's actual game action and plenty of content to get us through the week. But last night we released the preseason All Long Island list and got a lot of feedback, good and bad. So I wanted to solicit one of the most knowledgeable guys in the baseball community here, my friend Tom Downey. He's a member of the Philadelphia Phillies scouting department and has first-hand knowledge of a lot of these players for a number of years. Tom, how's everything going?
It's going awesome. And just want to say you're doing a great job with everything. I remember back in the infant stages of this, and you're just kind of finding your way a little bit, but you're doing an awesome job for the Long Island baseball community. It's awesome, man. Great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I know you have a very good knowledge of a lot of these kids, and I wanted to give them their proper due. So just to elaborate a little bit more on the list, kind of segment today's podcast into different topics. So the first one I want to start at is the no-brainers on the list, the kids that, if this was half the size or even a third of it would be towards the top. So let's start out with the kid that has been the talk of the baseball community now for a while is Franklin Power, left-handed pitcher from Copaig. I watched him pitch twice. I was blown away. What's your take on Franklin?
Well, I mean, it is a no-doubter because he's on the top of everybody's list. It doesn't matter if it's perfect game, PBR, your list, blue chips. Mm-hmm. He's a kid that, came on the scene this summer, and he is electric. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I saw a start in the summer where his fastball was below 88 miles an hour. You watch him start to command his secondary pitches better, mm-hmm. Which is really interesting. And all of a sudden that buzz started, and now he is must-see TV.
Yep.
It's going to be very interesting that first game against Newfield.
Yep.
Who knows who Coach Dorner is going to decide to throw. He's got some options too.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really looking forward to watching Franklin throw for the first time. I know he has worked his tail off, mm-hmm. Over at Prospect with Coach DeMichael and Coach Parcellano. So it's going to be fun.
Awesome. I know I'm excited as well, and I'll be there. Let's talk about another kid on the list, guy that really shot up in the last year is Logan O'Hoppe. I know you've worked with him. Great kid, great family. And what really stands out to you about Logan?
Well, the biggest thing is that I've been fortunate enough with a decent amount of players on this list to know them since they've been 12, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And Logan is, we call him the alpha. he is kind of he's the leader. He is a natural born catcher, and some of the things that he's been able to do physically, I mean, just in the past year alone, I think he's probably grown 6 inches, and his body, he's maturing. He's like a young man now.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that he's able to do, defensively, when you have guys like Patrick Cantwell, mm-hmm. and a Cam Marin who, worked the Catchermetrics Clinic, and they get to work with him and they turn around and go, this kid could catch in Double A right now. When that's coming from those guys, some of those guys, when I got a chance to watch them in high school.
Yep.
And they're going, well, this kid is probably a little bit more advanced than I was at this age.
And they don't have a dog in the fight. They're just unsolicited.
No. And that's the great thing about it is, mm-hmm. once those guys are giving you props, you're pretty good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And the one thing that stood out to me that you said last year was if anyone could be a coach as a player that you coach right now, it could probably be him. Is that still hold true?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, he's going to have a far future, mm-hmm. in baseball. And some guys are just baseball guys and they're born baseball guys. I think, yeah. he's probably born a baseball guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So moving on, here's another kid that really impressed me. I know you said he did very well in the Dominican Republic last week, is Jason Cools. I feel like he has kind of flown under the radar, but he did pitch in the county championship 2 years ago against Wantagh, and as a sophomore, performed very well. So where do you see him more, as a position player or a pitcher, and what kind of stood out to you last week?
Well, the way he swung the bat in the Dominican, we faced the Phillies, we faced the Red Sox, we faced the Rangers, mm-hmm. Facing those guys that are going to be, low A to maybe Double A players in pitching. And you watch him turn on a 94-mile-per-hour fastball with that whippy bat speed, you got to you got to take a look at him and go, hey, listen, you know, this guy's hitting consistently against pro pitching, you know. So as far as if he going to be a position player at Fordham or is he going to be a pitcher, I'm sure Kevin's going to have Coach Layton's going to have a little bit of, hey, listen, he's going to have an option with that, you know, because he will run mid to upper 80s on the mound. So it's a good thing, but who knows? Let him go out and play baseball. You know, let him be a baseball player, and if he pitches one day, that's great. And if he you know, bats in the middle of the lineup one day, I think that's good too. You know, so just let him keep playing baseball. I think that's the best thing.
And that's something that Coach Layton has shown the propensity to do. I was there last week, and Alvin Melendez went from closer, and he was middle of the order hitter, DH, when he doesn't pitch. So there's still a possibility for him to do that. Another kid that really stands out to me is Anthony D'Onofrio, shortstop from Wontaw. Also an all-state wide receiver, so the athleticism is through the roof. I was talking to Coach Sachs the other day at the meeting, preseason meeting, and he said that he's hit 450 for his high school career already, and he still has another year where he's a senior. So what do you think about D'Onofrio?
Another kid that I've been fortunate enough to watch grow and progress since he's 13. And I said this to Anthony. I said, until maybe you get to college, all right, don't let anybody mess with your approach. You know, something we talked about down in Dominican, especially with the boys down there, was intent. And nobody's ever going to say that Anthony D'Onofrio does not have intent when he's swinging the bat. You know, and Ant's not the biggest of kids, but he plays like he's 6'8". He plays like he's playing linebacker for the Giants. You know, it's just like he is not afraid. And he's always been like that. And, you know, he will go after the first pitch of the game. You know, we saw that last year in the Long Island Championship. I think the first pitch that Brian Morrell threw, I mean, he hit it off the fence. So, it's, you know, he's excellent.
Now, how about his teammate, Anthony Fontana? He's a kid that he started on a championship-winning team as a sophomore, so the winning pedigree is there. And from a scouting perspective, his power is through the roof. I mean, I know Newsday wrote the article when Greg was there, when he hit like a 400-plus foot home run. Was he down in the Dominican as well?
Yeah, he was down there as well. And if you haven't been around Anthony is one of those kids that he's a lot of fun to be around. He has a lot of fun playing the game. He keeps guys loose. And him and Matt Hogan during a BP session at the Texas Rangers hit about 3 home runs each. And they were up some trees, and we were just kind of, you know, when the Dominican guys start whistling, they go, well, this guy's pretty good. So we're watching those guys play, take BP. And then when we were over at the Pittsburgh complex, he went back-to-back doubles off the wall, you know, again, facing guys that are throwing 90, 92, 93 miles an hour. So he shows the power ability. But I'll tell you this about Anthony Fontana. The biggest thing for me over the past 2 years is his increased ability to become a better defender. He has really taken pride in his defensive ability and getting better at that. You know, I think when I first saw him, he was the big left-handed first baseman, and he had to work on becoming a better defender, and I think he's taken the most pride in that, and it shows.
Awesome. Now, another kid in that class that I want to talk about, it's kind of a no-brainer on the list, is Mark Fiello. I've watched him a number of times. He's really seen his star rise as well, I think. He was a Diamond Award winner last year along with Jimmy Joyce. What stands out to you about Mark Fiello?
He's a baseball player. He's a kid that he wants to win. He loves to play the game. If he could play every single day, Mark would play every single day. And it doesn't matter if you put him at second base, you could put him at shortstop, you could put him in left field, and then, you know, when you get him on the mound, he's got command of three. He can go out and beat anybody you want to beat. And, you know, we're talking about high school baseball. He does so many. He's such a winning player where it's just he expects to be very good every single time he steps on the field. And that's invaluable when you take a look at a player. I mean, obviously, when you win the Diamond Award as a junior, that's, you know, that's saying something.
Sky's the limit. So now for our next segment of the podcast, I want to talk about bounce back candidates, guys that had an injury last year or a down year, but in this specific case, I think it was pretty clear it was an injury. Is Matt Hogan, the Vanderbilt commit. He's been on radar for a few years now. I feel like I've known him forever since he was starting as a ninth grader at Hills East on a playoff team. And Matt, you know, measurables to the roof, great personality. What to you, what is Matt Hogan?
Well, you know, he was the first player in the class to commit, you know, and everybody was, you know, He's not even a, you know, a 10th grader yet. Hmm. And Vanderbilt's coming down to Stony Brook University to watch him. And then, you know, a day later, he commits. Matt, for me, and I've been doing this about 15 years, and I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of really, really good players, guys who played in the major leagues. Matt might have the best tools of any kid that I've ever seen.
That's saying a lot.
And he really is another kid that you root for. You know, you said last year, you know, he was so banged up with those injuries, with the back injuries. And, you know, he goes out and he hadn't pitched all year because it hurt too much to pitch. Mm-hmm. And he goes out and he pitches in the playoff game. And they end up losing the game. But you and I were both there.
Yep.
And, you know, for the first three, four innings, he's, you know, sitting 89,
90, yep.
91.
Yep.
And the next day, the very next day, and you know, Hilsey's got knocked out that game. The very next day, he goes into back breaks for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, so
not one to complain either.
No. So, you know, that's it. So he's down in the Dominican, and like we said before, he's dropping balls all over the place. He is, you know, just looking like the man. The day against Philadelphia, he rings a double to left field. You know, he smokes another ball, beats out a ground ball in the hole at short. Mm-hmm. And then he steals third base, and he gets up and he smiles. And I'm like, well, this kid's having fun again. Yep. And I think that's the biggest thing last year is that with his injuries, it was so hard. And, you know, with the expectations, the Vanderbilt, all that stuff of being the guy, playing with an injury, I think it's really tough for a young kid. And we have to remember, with all these players, and, you know, we always get slack for kids. You know, who wasn't on the list. These guys are all still developing. So even a kid with his clout is always still developing. And if he does what he did in the Dominican Republic last week, now, when he's healthy, look out.
Yep.
Look out.
I think he's in line for a real big year. And keep in mind, he's not going to be facing 93, 95 every at-bat in League 3 or 4. So another kid on in this category I want to talk about is Jake Guercio, two sports star. He won the Long Island Championship as a quarterback and also as a 11th grade, as a 10th grader with the baseball team 2 years ago. Jake seems like one of the purest hitters on Long Island. What do you like about Jake?
Well, you remember his sophomore year, he, you know, West Islip was pretty good.
Yep.
And did he have something like a 21-game hit streak?
He got hit in every game.
whatever it was.
Yep.
And I remember somebody's like, Tommy, you got to go see this kid.
Yep.
And I go down, and there he is smoking the ball up the middle, and he's doing, you know, he's just hitting, and he's a pure hitter. And again, Kevin Layton at Fordham's got another really good player to, you know, coming in on that class that, you know, you take a look at his stick, and you go, this kid, the bat translates to the next level. You don't think, I don't know how much, if that kid's going to have a lot of growing pains, just because of the, his swing is compact. It's ready to play, I think, at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, he's another kid where you go, his 10th grade year, he had a huge amount of success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, banged up last year with the injury. Now he's back this year, and, you know, again, another kid that, you know, be an all-county kid.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I guess the upside of getting hurt in early on in your junior year is that he's going to be back to full health this year. I know I just watched videos. He looks like he's got his speed back and everything. Another kid in the same category is Jordan Rose from St. Anthony's, committed to College of St. Rose. I was at the game that he got hurt. I felt for the kid because it was such an emotionally charged game against St. John the Baptist, and I think he got tied up on the base paths with a fielder. It looked real painful. What can you tell audience about Jordan Rose?
Well, you know, we were fortunate enough to watch him a lot the year before, and he hit that whole summer, and then he was hitting during the high school season. He was right in the middle of the mix for St. Anthony's.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about that, and, you know, it was a hard recovery for him. And then he had the opportunity to get back during the fall of last year, and start to get into the swing of things. And there's always that tentativeness, I think, with any player that comes off an injury. And, you know, once he started going a little bit, you know, and all of a sudden he gets healthy enough, and then St. Rose comes, and they're able to watch him perform, and they just go, wow, this kid is the kid that everybody's been talking about.
Uh-huh.
As far as his abilities to be able to play. You see that. It's another kid. I mean, you look at the outfield at St. Anthony's this year.
Loaded.
They're loaded.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could debate that. They might have the best outfield on the island.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, for somebody like him, again, just like the same thing with Hogan, with Guercio, like, welcome back, and let's see these kids get going.
Uh-huh. It's going to be exciting to watch them. Now, another segment of this, I want to talk about the underrated kids that might not get a lot of attention, but they're forcing their way into the conversation. One kid that really stands out to me is Roman DeRoche. Every time I watched him throw, it seemed like he outperformed his previous outing. Watch him at Fort Myers, Baseball Heaven. What stands out to you about Roman?
His stuff is electric. He's the type of kid, he could attack both parts of the plate. And he runs his two-seamer. It's like a sinker.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to cover that pitch. And then all of a sudden he throws that slider on the other end. And, you know, the fastball is, you know, upper 80s to touching 90.
From a low three-quarters.
Yeah, it is. He is a very uncomfortable at bat. I don't care if you're right-handed or left-handed.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, that kid likes the big spot. You know, down in Atlanta last year, he had an undiagnosed wrist injury. And he pitched against the Dallas Tigers team, and he went toe-to-toe with a kid that was throwing 90-94 that game. And then the game ended up, Dougie Goodwin ends up coming in that game, and the game ends up a 0-0 tie. And that was one of the best baseball games I saw from a pitching standpoint, both ends, mm-hmm. all year. But, you know, he's got some tough grit to him. Uh-huh. He's not afraid to take the ball in a big spot. You know, it's been a very interesting year. And, you know, he's, you know, being, you know, recruited by some really top tier Division I schools. So again, he's another kid that just, it's going to be really interesting for him this year.
Yeah, I think he's made for League One. He's going to go up against some big lineups with some powerful guys, but I think he could answer the bell there. How about Thomas Oleto? He's another kid that I think he kind of forced his way into the conversation over his performance last summer.
Yeah, you know, the New Haven commit. You know, a kid that has some versatility defensively. You know, you play an infield spot. He probably played shortstop in high school. Go out and play the outfield. But, you know, against top-tier competition, you know, you go down to Atlanta and you play in a national tournament like they do down in Marietta with Perfect Game. And he goes and, you know, makes the all-tournament team. You know, he gets about 6-7 hits down there, and all he did was hit last summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch that kid, and he just gets up, and you feel like he's going to get hit every time up.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's one of those type of kids that he just gets in the box, and he looks like he's in command. You know, I think Coach Solano up at New Haven got a steal.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. They've done a lot of recruiting from Long Island, it seems, and to this point, it's panned out. Guys like David Palmer, Kennedy, they've done a really good job of recruiting from Long Island. Another kid I wanted to mention, underrated, Mike Handel from Garden City, performed really well in the county championship against Wantagh, and left-handed bat, outfielder. What do you like about him?
talk about his defense first. It's been very, very hard-pressed to find a kid with as accurate arm from the outfield,
really,
as I've seen. You know, he's a kid that it doesn't look like he makes a bad throw, and it's like, okay, the runner's going to tag up third, and he gets the ball in center field, and your eyes open because
he's got a chance.
He's definitely got a chance.
Uh-huh.
Another kid from the, you know, hitting from the left side that's in command, can bunt for a hit, does all the small things. He is an absolute terror on the base pass because it stinks. He wants to get to the next base as quick as he can. He does things. He's like a coach's dream because you can run with him, you can bunt with him, he can bang a ball into the gap. You know, he's like, for me, he's like the prototypical college two hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hitting from the left side. You know, he's got some thump. And again, another kid that doesn't look overmatched against good pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And just to get off top along those lines, but not this topic, is winning players. I think he kind of fits that mold. Guys that just doesn't matter who the supporting cast is, it seems like they will their team to victory. Is there something to be said about that?
No, yeah, I mean, you know, that's who he is. You know, you think about it, and with Garden City's success last year, and, you know, he's right in the mix. And I don't think Mike has to be the star of a team to be very, very good. But he's the type of guy, like we just talked about just before, he's the type of, if you need something to be done, I think Mike's the guy to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, he, again, need a bunt in the spot, he's going to bunt. You need to work the count, work a walk, he's going to do that.
Uh-huh.
He's got that little tick, if he gets down in the count, two strikes, he's going to call time out.
Yep.
Just to throw the pitcher's rhythm off so he can get it back into the at-bat.
Yeah.
You know, so you watch him do those things, and it's
stuff that might not show up in the box score, but
yes,
you baseball
yes,
guy, you kind of appreciate
yes.
those things. Speaking of which, another New Haven commit that I was impressed with, I watched him at your showcase at Molloy, is Dom Ritigliano. He, big right-handed from Cary, lit up the radar gun and threw strikes. I mean, I was like, how did I not hear this kid before? What can you tell us about Dom?
Yeah, another kid that has, you know, mid to upper 80s ability on the mound. You know, he could throw three pitches for strikes. Good projection. Another kid that, you know, Coach Solano, you know, he gets a kid that you look at him and go, this kid could be a Division I player.
Uh-huh.
And Chris comes and, you know, he comes down the island because Chris has the roots here. Coaching at Dowling for so many years, and Chris is very interesting as a recruiter. He comes in, he sees a kid, he likes him. Let's get him up and let's get going with him. And you know, big football player too as well. Quarterback there for at Cary High School.
Cary's always a good program of football.
Sure, you know, and it's, you know, another kid. He gets on the mound. You get a real good chance to win the baseball game.
Yep, and nothing wrong with that. Now our next segment is the 2020 class. They really stand out to me. Almost similar to the way this 2017 class with the shortstops, where I did a whole article just on all the college scholarship shortstops, which was just unbelievable. But 2020 class, just to go over a couple of the names: Johnny Castagnazzi, Jack Reardon, Ryan Levenberg, Kevin Barrosian. I mean, you could go on and on. Matt Palcher. It's unbelievable.
I think the skill position, you know, when you talk about the shortstops and the catchers, uh-huh. You know, when you talk about those guys, are, you know, obviously when you talk to any college coach, they're going to fill from there.
Uh-huh.
You know, Brock Murtha,
yep.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, athleticism, you have, you know, Alex Unger is another kid. You know,
the depth in that class.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, Floridas, Travis Honeyman.
Yep.
You know, you look at those kids and you look at every one of them and they all do some things athletically that are different from each other. But, you know, you take a look at, you got Murphy, who's committed to Notre Dame. You've got Castagnazzi, who's committed to UNC. You got Honeyman. Massapequa has got two ACC middle infield type guys.
Yep.
You know, and you look at those guys in the middle and, you know, who knows where they're going to play at the next level. What position, you know, because when you get to a Power 5 conference, you know, they're going to take kids that are shortstops, and somebody's going to go play center field, somebody's going to play left field, somebody's got to move over to third base, and some guys play second base.
Yeah.
But the depth of the shortstop in that class is as good as we've ever seen, you know, and it's really, really, really good.
Yeah, I was going to mention that with the schools taking not necessarily a kid from a certain position and pigeonholing them. You know, like Stony Brook has made a habit out of that. You take the most athletic kid from every league, and now you can fill out your whole position, that all your positions that way.
You need to joke about it. You know, like, you look back at their senior class right now with guys like Andrew Gazzola and Bobby Honeyman.
Yep.
You know, those guys were premier shortstops, you know, and now all of a sudden Bobby's playing third.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, unfortunately, he's got that hammy injury right now. But, you know, his freshman year, he played first base, you know.
Yeah, Palazzolo and Grande, all shortstops.
All shortstops, and all of a sudden, let's, you know, and again, usually the shortstops are probably your best athlete on the field, so they should be able to go out and catch a ball in left field or center field or, you know, make a play from third, you know. So, it, a school like Stony Brook has made, you know, obviously a living on kids like that have versatility.
And now another kid from that group that I wanted to mention was Ryan Levenberg. Last year I watched him actually outperform Brad Camarda, and just aside from the box score, I mean, the numbers, his line was good too, but the emotional aspect of going into facing a kid that's going to Hofstra, he had won 10 games the previous year, you're at their field at Hills West, like it was nothing, went in there, did his thing. Is that something that you've come to expect from Ryan, just no nerves on the mound?
Yeah, you know, again, you look at another kid, and, you know, obviously with the pedigree of left-handed pitching.
from Hop Hog,
with Nick Fanti, who he is very close with. And you watch Ryan pitch, and he's got the ability to, like we talked about with DeRoche, is attack both parts of the plate, developing that third pitch with the change up, and working with Nick during his times when Ryan's not playing basketball or soccer, you know, and working on those things. And did he lose a game last year?
I don't think so.
I don't think he lost a game last year. But then you talk about, like, him facing Brad Camarda. If you go back over and you go to Newsday and you look at wins for up through those 3 years, I don't know if anybody won more than Brad.
No.
You know, so, and, you know, you got a chance. I had a chance to watch him throw in the Dominican Republic, and he threw outstanding.
Really?
Really good as a freshman. And again, you're facing guys that are contracted major league, you know, minor league players.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like you watch that happen, and you think, oh, you know, Ryan went out and he went pitch for pitch with him last year.
Uh-huh.
That's another interesting kid. You know, he's got scholarship offers right now,
mm-hmm.
And you know, he's going to make somebody pretty happy.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned Brock Murth. I'd be remiss to mention him. I mean, he's was the first player to be all Long Island as a freshman for Newsday. I haven't watched him that much, but I know a lot of people like to say, oh, 10 home runs, Sayville's small, the wind blows out. But you look at him, he's a man. He's a football player. For his age, he is well mature beyond his years, and he also pumps it up in the upper 80s on the mound. So can we dispel that notion that those home runs were all windblown?
Watch him take a round of BP, or watch him take some ground balls and throw from athletic angles at shortstop. And, you know, he gets up and he throws a ball off the ground, from his shoelaces, and the ball's, running over there at, 85 miles an hour he's got fast twitch. And the reason why Notre Dame, was so quick to act with him is just because mm-hmm. you watch him and you just go, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, sometimes it doesn't matter the age. If the kid's going to have those measurables and that projectability still, they might as well take a risk on him.
And I'll tell you what, too, about Brock. What a humble kid. Mm-hmm. What a really down-to-earth humble kid. A lot of these kids, the Castagnazzis, it is a pleasure with a lot of these kids. It doesn't matter the class. We talk about 2019 with a kid like Jason Diaz.
Yep.
You sit and you talk with these kids, the stigma is like the better players have a little bit of a chip.
Yep.
Like these kids are interacting with anybody, and they're quick to put their arm around a kid maybe that has a little less ability and go, hey, listen, hey, good job with that. Or,
did in a lot of the kids in the Dominican, giving back to the community? I mean, that's something that you can't measure that.
I mean, I've been fortunate enough to go on that trip for the past 6 years. I've gone down there 7 times with Sal Agustinelli, who we call the Grande Jefe down there, because he seems to know everybody. There'd be a guy riding down the road on a bike, and he's like, Sal, what's going on? And, Sal has been the director of, director of international scouting for the Phillies for, it's been 20 years. Uh-huh. And, you go down there, and you see why so many people from the Dominican Republic are shining uh-huh. in Major League Baseball, because they should rename that part of the island.
Uh-huh.
They should just rename it baseball, because you drive down the road and mm-hmm. there is a baseball field every quarter mile, yep. and it's filled with people. It doesn't matter if it's 9 o'clock in the morning
yep.
or 7 o'clock at night. They're playing baseball down there. And then, you talk about the humanitarian part of that trip. Every year, it is so humbling. We have kids up here that are upset because their cleats don't match their uniform. These kids, the first year I was down there, and remember walking to the stadium that reminds me of like the PAL complex?
Uh-huh.
And just take the PAL complex and throw 20 grenades at it, and there's just rubble all over the place. I walk through the tunnel, and there's this 15-year-old kid with no shoes on just smashing balls.
Jeez.
And, one of the kids gave him his shoes, and the kid was like, his eyes lit up, and it was I have a pair of shoes now,
Puts things in perspective.
It's so funny that, when we go down there, some of the parents that go down, what should we bring? I say, bring socks. Bring socks, because you're going to see these kids running around in slides playing baseball.
Uh-huh.
And they get a pair of socks, it's like you just gave them $1,000. It's like unreal.
And when they get signed, that money, talk about life changing. That's enough for their whole family.
When you think about the country itself, the average weekly income for a family is $10 American.
Wow.
Imagine that.
No. Yeah,
you run down to the 7-Eleven, you're going to spend $10.
Yep.
These people have to live on that for a week. So that's why those kids are hungry, and it's a little bit different. Our kids have a lot of options up here. They get to go to school.
Yeah.
Most, I would say probably 25% of the kids there don't go to school. 25% of the kids there go to school and then play baseball. Some kids just don't go to school and just play baseball. So baseball is the only out for them down there. It's either that, go work at one of the resorts at Punta Cana, or go pick sugarcane. So a lot of those kids down there don't have the same opportunities our kids have, so it's a little bit different. I like to say our kids are house cats, all right? And those kids are alley cats, so they have a little bit different edge to them.
Yeah, so our guys got to work just as hard, because when you go down there and you see nothing's given to them, and they don't make excuses, because literally that could be the end of their baseball career.
Sure.
They don't make it. So now let's go into the last part of this this podcast here. I want to talk about the guys that just missed the list, because obviously there's still a ton of talent, but there's 2,000 varsity players, so not everybody could be on a list. One of the kids I want to mention is Drake Eggleston, Ward Melville kid. Velocity really jumped up in the last year. What can you tell us about him?
Well, you know, you watch him, and he's another kid that I've known since he's 13 years old, and I remember going down to a game, he's 13, and he hits a ball out of the Medford field, and I'm like, Jesus, you know, and he was always a kid that could run into a ball, but now, obviously, he's a UPenn commit, and you watch him, I got a chance to watch him about 3 or 4 times between the high school season and the summer season, and, you know, his velocity was always there, and he's starting to command a secondary breaking ball. He's starting to understand how to pitch a little bit more, field the position. And it's not easy over at Ward Melville because
I was going to say, you could be a junior and be committed, and there might be 3 seniors that are better.
Luke Trucci has had a wealth of pitching, and I think that's the strength of their Little League system. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's so odd that you have a community that's so strong in lacrosse and baseball. And when you have a kid like Drake Eggleston, who I don't know how many innings he pitched for Lou, but
he's,
I know,
one of the closer.
Yeah, I know. And you have a kid that can throw 90 miles an hour.
Yep.
That's in your bullpen that you can summon whenever you want to summon him. That's pretty good.
That's a good problem to have. Yeah, last year with Max Nielsen, Ben Brown. I mean, the pipeline is just never runs dry over there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now another kid that just committed, DJ Chandler from Riverhead to St. Thomas Aquinas. Seems like they've made a habit of getting those projects, and a lot of them end up working out. So what can you tell us about DJ?
DJ is another kid. If you know, his dad is Barry Chandler, who's one of the most celebrated athletes that Long Island's ever seen. And he's another kid that when he gets a chance to play baseball full time, like he will at St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, his tools, you can watch him, you know, with DJ, you can watch him swing and miss twice and look not good doing it, and then the next pitch he hits it 400 feet, and you're like, well, where'd that come from?
Yep.
And then he gets on the mound from the left side, and, you know, one pitch is at 82, and the next pitch is at 86, and you're going, where's that out? So Coach Marconi, you know, he's got a kid that's played varsity baseball, you know, for 4 years, and he gets up the stack, and with their winning tradition up there, they're ranked 5th in the country right now.
Yep, College World Series last year.
Sure, and you get him in the mix there, where he's got a chance to play, be a full-time baseball player, and harness those skills and polish those skills, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another kid, Tommy Reifler from Garden City. You watched him, next level kid. Seems like another player cut from the same cloth as Mike Handel. Does a lot of the little things, right?
Yeah. What's going on at Garden City? Because they get those winning baseball players there.
Yeah.
And you know, watching Tommy over the summer, and Tommy's not a big in stature type of kid.
Uh-huh.
But the kid's got the hit ability, right? You turn around and Tommy, you like, it's like Tommy's good for 2 hits a game.
Huh.
You know, and here goes Tommy making a great play at second base, and you know, Tommy's again like in the mix. What do you need Tommy to do this game? Well, Tommy's going to make a play to help us win a game.
Uh-huh.
Tommy's going to end up getting a big hit in a big spot. Tommy's going to lay down a bunt.
Uh-huh.
You know, Tommy's going to work a walk. You know, and he has just done that. He was great for Garden City last year. He was great during the summer. He was great during the fall.
Yep.
You know, and another kid where you look at him first, you go, okay, and then you watch him play and you go, whoa,
yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yep. Let's go to another player here from Connectquot. Now, Connectquot, if I had to say, would probably be my 2019 pick for the county champion just because of how much talent they have at the sophomore and junior level. I think they're a year away from being that team, but it's because of guys pitchers like Savino, Ungers, the Yallen brothers. So let's talk about Connectquot, actually, and who are some of the kids on that team that might be a year away from this list but are a significant talent?
Well, you know, you have the Younger twins. I mean, you have the younger boys this year, and then you have the Allen twins, you know, and then you get Savino going, and, you know, Joey, when you watch him, you go, is this kid a pro prospect? He probably is. You know, he has that kind of 3-quarter mix where he can mix in that slider. He's got the big, beautiful body that you look at and you go, wow, that looks like a pro.
Yeah.
And, you know, another kid that can run the fastball up into the mid-80s and with that kind of 3-quarter, you know, high 3-quarter sling.
Yep.
And you go, well, that was a pretty good slider.
Yep.
You know, and that was a pretty good 2-seam runner.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at him and you go, wow, you can see why some Power 5 conference schools are in on him right now because of the ability. You look at him and you go, this could be a pro by the time he's a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have that. And you have the Allen twins.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you know, you're going to bang the ball around the park. Derek from the right side, Jared from the left. And you know, those kids, you know, there's a reason why you have 2 brothers going to Stony Brook is because they've got some tools.
Uh-huh.
They can hit. they can flat out hit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's, you know, when you look at Jarrett, you get him on the mound from the left side, and he can run the ball up in the, into the mid-80s with a good power breaking ball. And you could see why you would think, you know, 2019 uh-huh. with them could be the year. But I think maybe this year could be their year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think maybe we have, you know, maybe Smithtown East too as well with that, with what they got going on over there.
Yep, that's the only reason why I said I think they're a year away, because I think Smithtown has the their core is young, but they were already on varsity last year, so I think they're kind of a little might be a year ahead of, in terms of progression. But that's a, another healthy debate we could have. I mean, you got Newfield with all their pitchers who are all seniors, by the way. So,
you know, and then you get some young ones too. You, at Newfield, you get you have some young pitchers there too.
You got Dylan Johnson,
yep. Challenge Giovanco. Yep. You know, then you get Vath. Jeez. You know, would it shock you if Vath won the Gibson Award this year in Suffolk County? No.
I'm very high on him. You watch him throw, I think he said, 5 shutout innings in the Dominican Republic.
Dominican
I mean,
Republic.
That doesn't happen for usually for 17-year-olds.
You know, we faced the Red Sox the last day, and they brought their big boy lineup out. They had a shortstop was signed for $1.7 million, who was, you know, 17 years old. And an 18-year-old,
bonus baby.
18-year-old third baseman. I go out and I'm coaching third base, and I look at his kid and I go, jeez, this kid is still here? And why is he not at, like, you know, shouldn't he be at big league spring training
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, at least.
And, you know, oh, man. So he gets out there, and Vath gets out there, and he throws 4 pitches, and see you later, to the shortstop.
Wow.
And then he throws 4 pitches to the third baseman, and see you later. And, you know, when you have Philippe Alou, who's watching the game, you know, the Alou family,
yep.
And he turns around, and he goes, this kid can really pitch?
Wow.
Okay.
That's okay. High praise coming from a guy that's seen it all in the major leagues.
Sure.
Yep. Now let's have some fun here. This will be a parting shot, a prize for the audience that stuck with us for this long. I want to give my Yastrzemski Award prediction. I think there's a few kids that already the favorite in it. I want to let you lead off with first.
Oh,
who's
come
your,
on.
Who's
you
your favorite?
That's not fair. That's not fair.
No.
Can we talk about every, you know, every Suffolk County kid that we mentioned on this list? If we would do that? I don't think.
But
it's
we don't
too early.
Say,
it's
right.
Too early. We'll go back. Like, let's come back to this for me.
Uh-huh.
Let's come back to maybe the middle of the year.
When
it's
all the players
there's so many question marks.
That's true.
There's so many question marks.
All right. Well, you know what? It'll be something for our audience to look forward to. We got tryouts on Monday, so it's an exciting time. Obviously, it's a monsoon today, so it's tough to imagine there being 75 degrees and sunny. But there's a lot to look forward to. And also, this is a time where we could kind of set our plans for the summer, maybe for the uncommitted kids, if there's any events that they want to go to, you know, anything that comes to mind.
Yeah, you know, you're doing this for 15 years. You know, at the amateur level, and then for the past 6 years with Philadelphia, and fortunate enough with that, the recruiting landscape and the timing has changed so much. So, like, you know, sometimes we'll get schools that are asking about kids that are in ninth grade, and I'm like, geez, you know, I hope, honestly, the NCAA changes their rule with this because of the fact that I think guys are trying to project out on kids that, you know,
15.
They're 15 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a little bit different 8 years ago. Like, you think about, like, Anthony Kay didn't make his commitment to UConn until July of his junior summer.
Uh-huh.
You know, now kids are making commitments. Like, Matt Hogan was, like, one of the first ones to make a commitment before. And there's always going to be a kid that jumps out, and all of a sudden he's on the map, and let's go. Like Franklin Power last year.
Uh-huh.
That's a great example. Nobody knew who Franklin Power was until last year. You know, I want to see that kid this year. Let's go out and see that. Let's find that kid this year.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's a lot easier said than done. But those events do kind of streamline the process. So I'll be sure to have an eye on that. To our audience, thank you for tuning in. That's all the time that we have for today. And thank you to our special guest, Tom Downey, for providing lots of valuable insight today. For our audience, thank you for tuning in. And see you out on the field.
You've been listening to the Access Baseball Podcast with your host, Vinny Massana. Tune in to the next episode. Until then, visit accessbaseball.com.